thing on, we'll get started. All right. So we're going to go through our series on the book of the Revelation. And we're actually going to start in Hebrews chapter 5 and verse number 11. And somebody might say, well, why in the world are we starting in Hebrews if we're going to study the book of Revelation? Well, I want you to see the practical reason why we're studying the book. And I want you to see that there are some parts of the book of Revelation that are actually included in the basic foundational truths of being a Christian. So look with me in Hebrews chapter 5. Let's start with verse number 11. The Bible says, we have much to say about this, but it's hard to explain because you are slow to learn. In fact, though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you the elementary truths of God's Word all over again. Now, the writer of the book of Hebrews is actually indicting these Jewish believers. He's basically saying, you know, it's been long enough now that you've been studying the Bible. You ought to be able to teach some other people these things. But because, and we don't have time to look at it, but because you haven't used what you learned, you haven't matured. Hearing it doesn't give spiritual growth. You got to use and put into practice what you hear, or you don't grow. Well, that's what had happened here. They hadn't grown. So he goes on to say, look at verse number, the latter part of verse number 12. You're going to have to be taught the elementary truths of God's Word all over again. You need milk and not solid food. Anyone who lives on milk, being still an infant, speaking about their spiritual level of growth, is not acquainted with the teaching about righteousness. Now look at verse 14, because this is how you spiritually mature. This is what I was just talking about. But solid food is for the mature. How'd they get that way? Who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. So how do we mature? By constant use, we train ourselves, and therefore we grow spiritually. Now look at chapter 6 and verse 1. Therefore, let us leave the elementary teachings about Christ and go on to maturity. The writer is saying we need to leave the elementary truths and we need to move on to some more mature things. But I want you to notice, now he lists some elementary truths. These are some truths that are milk doctrines. These are things baby Christians ought to understand. And I want you to see what some of them are. Not laying again the foundation of repentance from acts that lead to death, and of faith in God, instruction about baptism, the laying on of hands, and those are all basic elementary doctrinal truths, right? Believing in Christ, repentance, faith, baptism, those are all elementary things. But notice what else he puts at the end of this. Verse number 2, instruction about baptism, laying on of hands, the resurrection of the dead, and eternal judgment. What are the last two things he added in to these milk, basic, infant-level spiritual things that every baby Christian ought to understand? What were those last two things he listed there? He says here, eternal judgment and the resurrection. Well, what category of theology do you think we learn about the resurrection and eternal judgment in? Eschatology. So eschatology gives to us a basic, elementary, foundational teaching about two basic foundational doctrines that every born-again child of God, as a baby Christian, needs to come to grips with. And that is, number one, the resurrection from the dead, and number two, eternal judgment. We will live forever somewhere, and we will stand before God and give an account of our life one day. Those are basics of the Christian life. Well, in eschatology, and you're going to see in the book of the Revelation, we learn about that. When does the resurrection take place? When does the judgments take place? how many specific incidents are there where we see resurrection in the Bible? How many judgments are there that take place in heaven do we see in the Bible? All of those are talked about in the book of Revelation. And we're going to learn those this weekend. But I want you to see, those are elementary truths that every baby Christian ought to understand. And they ought to know why they believe those things are true. Well, the book of Revelation gives you the scriptural foundation as to why you know those things are true. So studying eschatology helps us to understand some basic truths. Now, there are some other basic truths that we're going to learn as we study eschatology. Let me give these to you, okay? There's four more basic reasons why we study eschatology. Number one, it provides joy in a time of affliction. It provides joy in a time of affliction. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. If you want to turn over there, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 17 and 18. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 17 and 18. I'm going to start in verse 16 so we can get the context. Paul says this, "Therefore, we do not lose heart, though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day." Here it is. "For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes, not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal." So studying eschatology and knowing that there is an eternity where I'm going to live with God forever provides joy for me in difficult times in my life. When I'm going through the rotten times of my life, Paul said he looked forward to heaven because he knew there was a heaven. And he knew one day he would be there. Well, what teachings help us to know that? The teachings of eschatology. That's where we learn about heaven. That's where we learn about that eternity. If you ask my family what my favorite topic in all the Bible is, they will tell you. Hey, what is it? Heaven. I love heaven. Heaven is as real to me as you are tonight. I mean, heaven is a real place. If Jesus were to come through that door and say, "Bill, would you like to finish teaching or would you like to come back to heaven with me? See you later. Somebody else do the teaching. I'm leaving." I mean, why do I want to wake up on Monday morning and go back to that stinking old job I got? Why do I want to wake up on Monday morning and have to pay bills? I mean, why do I want to wake up on Monday morning and realize I'm 35 pounds overweight and I got to go on a diet? When I get to heaven, I ain't got to do none of that. Why do I want to wake up on Monday morning and think about having to get on a treadmill and run so that I keep my health up so I can stay and raise my kids and don't die young? And I'm really young. In heaven, there is no death. In heaven, there is no pain. In heaven, there is no crying. In heaven, there is no sorrow. And do you know where you learn that? In the book of Revelation. And we're going to look at it before we're done. So what does studying the book of Revelation do for me? What gives me joy in times of affliction on this earth? Because it teaches me about an eternity where I'm going to spend with God forever. Let me give you another thing. Number two, it encourages us to live a godly life. It encourages us to live a godly life. Let's turn to 1 John chapter 3, verses 2 and 3. 1 John chapter 3, verses 2 and 3. And the Bible says here, let's start with verse 1. "How great is the love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know Him. Dear friends, now are we the children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when He appears, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is." By the way, that verse tells me that there's coming a day when He will appear, and at that moment, I'm going to be changed, and I'm going to be like Him.
when we get to the part in Revelation 4 where I talk about the rapture, we're going to go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And we're going to look at where Paul encouraged the Thessalonian believers by letting them know that their loved ones who had already died, they would see them again. And we'll talk more about that when we get to Revelation chapter 4. But he talks about the rapture. And at that moment, we are changed. 1 Corinthians 15, and we'll talk about that in a minute, the resurrection. And our bodies are changed. But what does John go on to say? Look at verse number 3. Everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure. You know what that says? John is saying, one day I'm going to see Jesus and I'm going to be changed and I'm going to be just like him. But everybody that really believes that, that has that hope in them, purifies themselves right now. They don't wait till then. They don't live life any old way and then decide, well, you know, when I see Jesus, it'll all be taken care of. No, they purify themselves right now. Because the Bible teaches me that one day I will meet Jesus and answer to him, it encourages me to live a godly life right now. I want to. I want to please him. I want him to be proud of me when I get there. After all he's done for me, the last thing I want to do is disappoint him. I want him to be proud of me. And God knows we've disappointed him a whole lot in our lives because we're human. We're human. And that was one of the things that Paul said in the book of Romans. He could not wait to get to heaven so that this old wretched body that constantly caused him to sin would be done away with and he wouldn't have to worry about that anymore. And that day is coming. Well, how do I know that day is coming? Because of the Bible and eschatology. Because of the book of Revelation. It teaches me that. Okay? A third thing. The book of Revelation and the study of eschatology teaches me facts about life after death. It teaches me facts about life after death. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, beginning in verse number 1. And I'm going to read couple of verses there, and then we're going to skip down to verse number 8, and then look at verse number 10. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 1. Now we know, Paul says, that if the earthly tent we live in is destroyed, we have a building from God, an eternal house in heaven, not built by human hands. You know what that means? The Bible teaches me that I got another place I'm going to get to live, and it ain't this old wicked body that is always giving me problems. It's another house, another body where I'm going to live one day, and I won't have to fight all this garbage again. Now look down with me at verse number 8. Let's start with verse 7. We live by faith, not by sight. Now look at verse 8. Paul says, we are confident. Not we hope, not we're praying like crazy for. We are confident of what I say and would prefer to be away from the body and at home with the Lord. You know what Paul said? I'm confident that the moment I leave this body, I'm going to be in the very presence of God. And he actually says, I would prefer that. Paul told Timothy, I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. But to stay here is better for you. You know what Paul said? I am between a rock and a hard place. Because I love you people, and I know that for me to stay here, it's good for you, and I enjoy ministering to you, but I sure would rather leave and go to heaven because it's a whole lot better than it is down here. And that's what he says right here. He says, I'm confident that the moment I leave this body, I'm going to be in the presence of the Lord. The second my soul leaves this body, it's going to be looking square in the eyes of Jesus Christ. Do you know why people are afraid of death? Because we're afraid of the unknown. You ain't never been there. That's all it is. Do you know death don't hurt? Dying hurts, but death don't hurt. The process of the body stopping is what we're afraid of. But if you're a believer, the moment your ticker stops ticking, literally in a split second, you open your eyes and you see Jesus. You ever heard these people talk about, well, you know, I had a
I had an after-death experience. I saw a bright light. I hope my after-death experience ain't nothing but bright lights. My after-death experience is going to be the face of Jesus. When I die, the Bible says the first thing I see is Him. Absent from the body is present with the Lord, not in some room with a bunch of bright lights. You know what? I've been hitting the head playing football and I saw bright lights. That ain't what the Bible says. So, how do I know all that, though? How can I be confident of that? Because of the book of Revelation and the teachings of last things. That's where all that comes from. Now, let me give you one more real quick. And we're going to take a break. One more. The study of eschatology and the study of the book of Revelation not only gives me joy in time of affliction, it encourages me to live a godly life, it gives me facts about life after death, but number four, it causes me to realize that God is in control and will ultimately prevail over all evil. God is in control and will ultimately prevail over all evil. In Revelation chapter 19, I'm not going to blow the thunder tonight, but in Revelation 19, verses 11 through 20, Jesus comes back riding on a white horse, and the Antichrist and his armies have surrounded the nation of Israel, and they're about to destroy him at the end of the tribulation, known as the Battle of Armageddon. Jesus comes back riding on a white horse out of heaven. The armies of heaven, clothed in white robes, follow him. You will see as we go through the book of Revelation, that is describing us. He comes back, and he confronts the Antichrist and all of his armies, and with the sword of his mouth, he wipes them off the face of the earth and saves the nation of Israel. And at that moment, they realize that's the Jesus we've been denying all these years. He is God. He wins. And then in Revelation chapter 20 and verse number 10, after the millennium is over, Satan is unleashed. And then God takes him and casts him into the lake of fire where the beast and the false prophet are, and he will be tormented there in fire day and night forever and ever and ever. God wins. So what does eschatology teach me? It teaches me that God will prevail. He is going to win. He has won, and he is in control of everything. Now, what does that do for me? A whole bunch. You know those things going on in your life right now that you can't explain and you don't understand why God's letting them happen? Can I just remind you of something? God didn't wake up yesterday and see what was going on in your life and say, "Oh no, I didn't know that was going to happen. What are we going to do? I just didn't know this was coming. Oh, it's just blindsided me. What am I going to do?" God has never done that. Preacher friend a long time ago told me, "Bill, has it ever occurred to you that nothing has ever occurred to God?" Never. He is in control of everything. Everything that has ever happened in your life and mine, good or bad, in our opinion, God was in control of it and he had a reason. And there is something he's wanting to do in our lives. But how do I know he's in control? Among other things, because of what the Bible teaches me in the book of Revelation. Okay? So, there's a whole lot of other things that we could go into. There's a lot of doctrine that we hold to that is taught in the book of Revelation. And we'll see some of those things as we go through it. But these are some of the basic things. Eternal judgment, resurrection, these four practical applications. So, why do we study eschatology? Because there's a whole lot of practical stuff in there for us that encourages us, okay? Now, what we're going to do when we come back is we're going to break down the book of Revelation. I'm going to outline it for you, and we're going to go through the first three chapters or so briefly, and then we'll be done for tonight, okay? Tomorrow, we'll start getting into more of the meat of the chapters and kind of what's going on in the tribulation and the rapture and so forth, okay? Let's have a word of prayer. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the truths that are taught us in the book of the Revelation. It's easy to see why John wrote down, as you told him to, "Blessed are those who read and understand and take heed to this prophecy." Lord, thank you for being our God.
Thank you for allowing us to be your children. And thank you for giving us your word. Lord, use it to teach us this weekend. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.